And in the light of our study and Jeremiah and the Nebuchadnezzar coming in 1, 2, 3 times, the third time he levels the city. Now, in the process, Jeremiah is ministering to the people over and over and over again, year after year, king after king, as it were, and he's doing so. And in the process, their heart gets harder and harder. Now, we share together in the light of it, because God has given it to us, so here we are, Lord, and we're trying to get an understanding and learn from it, Romans 15, verse 4. We want to learn from it so that we can be properly educated in understanding how God works, why he works, when he doesn't work, seemingly. Now, it's chapter 17, we share together. In the process, we discovered, as we did, verse 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we share together in the light of that, that the source and problem is always the human heart, for out of the heart are the issues of life. And so the heart's the center. So no matter what you do on the outside, physically or materially or otherwise, that is outside. The issue is with the heart. What are you doing in your heart? Not in your head. What are you doing in your heart? And we share together, that's why we have understanding in chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. Why would you want to be cursed and be like a bramble bush, as it were, in the middle of the desert, dry, dead, as it were, ultimately, and nothing? Why would you do that when you could be a tree planted by the water, never having a problem? Why would you choose the desert? Why would you choose to be a bush and not a tree? And that's because of the heart. So an obvious choice, why wouldn't you choose right instead of wrong? Well, we choose wrong because of our heart. Our heart loves darkness rather than light. So that's a human thing, and we understand it. It's an earthly condition, and humans do that. And you want to know why they don't do something that seems rather obvious and good? It's because of the heart. It's a problem. A heart problem isn't a problem in the world. The heart problem is a problem with God. The heart problem isn't with anybody. The heart problem, personally, is one's personal exercise and understanding of God. That's why. Now, in the light of that, and Judah has failed. It seeks to, we share together at some length, they seek to have any help. God would help them. They don't want any help. God would save them, but they don't want to be saved. God would give them a great anticipation and expectation of a good tomorrow, but they don't want any hope. On the contrary, we share together, chapter 17, and in verse 14, etc., God had given all of that help and saving and hope, and Jeremiah was an eager recipient of the help, etc., and the hope, and he was eagerly to receive it. And so it just was up to a person. And Jeremiah chose to have it. They did not. Same as it today. People all over the world can either choose to know God or they don't. They can either trust God or they don't. They can either believe or they don't. It's up to them. And they may not. But you need to know the problem isn't because they don't have thus and thus. It's because of a heart problem. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and so the leadership, after all this time, over and over again, the heart is very hard for them, of Israel. In chapter 15, we share together, behold, they say unto me, where is thy word, the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Remember, they said, listen, have God do something, Jeremiah, or don't speak anymore. Don't say anything else. You've said it over and over and over again. We hear it every day. We don't want to hear it anymore. And therefore, either put up or don't say anything else. now. And so that's where they were, chapter 17 and verse 15. Jeremiah was faithful, we shared together, in chapter 17, verse 16. He was faithful, trusted God consistently, and so he was counting on God. He had no problem, and he knew that the judgment that would come upon him, Jeremiah chapter 1, 17, he knew that wasn't going to happen because he was trusting God to keep that from happening. And therefore you have in verse 17, "Be not a terror or a dismay unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil." So Jeremiah is just going to trust God. He is trusting God, and he's very much encouraged. And we share together in response, verse 18, that Jeremiah said, "Listen, God, the people are saying what they're saying. They want you to do something." And Jeremiah said, "I'm in full accord with it happening. They're mocking you. And God, do what you're going to do, when you're going to do it. And I'm all for it." Chapter 17 and verse 18. And thus, in the process of that, so we come now in the all that's happening. So his faithful consistency. And now you come to chapter 17 and verse 19 to 27. And in 19 to 27, God gives him an assignment. He's telling God he's faithful. He's going to hang in there. He told him what had happened. Now, so God, it isn't time to happen. 586 AD hasn't come yet, when Nebuchadnezzar levels the city. But God is continuing to be merciful and gracious, and Israel is stiff-necked, hard-hearted. So, now, in the process of that, so Israel is going to be reminded again, after they just got after Jeremiah for saying it, Jeremiah is going to now go to the city, to the gates of the city, one after another, and he's going to say something over and over again. So Jeremiah, I'm going to send you back out there, and you're going to do it. Now verse 19, "Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people," "whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem." That's what we're talking about. "And they say unto them in all the gates of Jerusalem, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates." So now, here's the city, here's the gates, people going in and out. And they go in and they go out every day. They bring in their products from the field, animals and food, and they sell it and they go back out. People buy and sell. They come and go. They buy and sell in the temple, and they do it every day. That's what they do. Now, Jeremiah has a message for them from God. And in chapter 17 and in verse 21, that you're going to read from 21 to 27, all about the Sabbath. Now, remember, they're coming in and out every day. You have to understand that. In and out, every day, 7 days a week, in and out. Just living their life 7 days a week, in and out. So that's what they're doing. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, they're doing that. And he's going around gate after gate, And eventually he's going to hit everyone that comes in and out, is going to hear one way or the other. So now, in the process of that, Jeremiah is going to be is admonishing them. What? They are not doing something that they ought to be doing. And what is that? They are not honoring the Sabbath. They're not. They go 6 days, 7 days, 7 days, in and out, 7 days, in and out, 7 days. And they don't stop. And they keep right on going. And they don't honor the Sabbath. So that's what the subject matter is, verse 21 to verse 27, which we'll look at briefly, quickly, because it can be done that way. Now, in the process of that, so now we're asking, I'm asking myself, and you might ask myself, now why bring up the Sabbath? Why bring up the Sabbath at this time as a 586 BC comes closer? Why bring it up? You talked about Jerusalem, you talked about the ark, you talked about the temple, you talked about sacrifices, and you said all of them, and the people never heard, didn't pay any attention to any of it, and now you're going to bring up the Sabbath. Now, so with that in mind, we need to go and refresh our mind for the answer to that, I think. Over, if you would please, in your Bible, to Genesis, and in chapter 2, as you would guess. Genesis in chapter 2. Picking up in thought, if I may. Genesis 2, verse 1. Remember now, the 6 days created the heavens and the earth. 6 days. It's the seventh day. Literally, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is the seventh day. Thus the heavens and the earth were first finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended the work which he had made, and he created on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So, God, you're telling us about the seventh day. God did all the work, creation. God did all of that in 6 days. And he took everything that he made, and it was very good. The end of chapter 1, verse 31. Everything that he made was very good. And everything, it was finished and set apart for its wonderful purpose and fulfillment. And having finished it, everything in order, all ready to go, the work was done, he rested on the seventh day. He stopped and rested. The work was done. What was done? All the creative processes were in motion. Humans, everything was in motion, all ready to go. Didn't need to do anything else? Did you need to help the giraffes? Nope. Do we need to help Adam and Eve? Nope. Nope. Everything is moving, ready to go. It's sanctified and set apart, generally speaking. So now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, now that's the pattern, and everything that's created is for all the humans that dwell on planet Earth and everything else. So is there anything, God, that needs to be done? No. The 6 days cover all the bases. I covered all my bases. Begin, and go. Okay. Now, so therefore, why could anyone do anything? Why could the animals exist? Why could food, trees grow? Why could Adam and Eve do whatever, multiply? Because God set it in motion. It was set apart to fulfill its wonderful purpose. All the work was finished. Now, over to Exodus, if you would. And in Exodus, if I may, picking up in thought, chapter 16, we should go there first, since that's the first place, Exodus 16. And in Exodus chapter 16, may I pick up the thought, if I can? Exodus chapter 16, and you'll notice the subject matter is on the manna, and I'm going to read, if I can, chapter 16 and in verse 22. Came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest The word rest is the word from Sabbath. Sabbath, masculine, masculine, feminine. The rest of the Holy Sabbath, there's the other word. The rest of the Holy Sabbath unto the Lord, bake that which you will bake today, and seethe, boil that which you will seethe, boil, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. So now, that they were to, that's the manner, and they were to do it. And here, before, this is before Exodus 20, verse 27. It came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Now God had already told them 6 days and 7 days, there's going to be nothing, because on the sixth day, it's going to double itself, and you're going to take double for the Sabbath, so the seventh day when there's nothing. But they didn't believe, so they went out on the seventh day, and they found none. Verse 27. Verse 28, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? people just don't pay attention to the instructions. Verse 29, see, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. And so the people rested on the seventh day. I don't want you to go looking for something when I told you to not get anything. Don't go looking for any. I gave you everything on the sixth day so that you rest on the seventh day. I don't want you to go hunting for food or anything. Stay put. Now, that prepares us, the Sabbath, in the wilderness, over 40 years, over, if you would please, to Exodus chapter 20. And you would note, as you know, Exodus 20, and in verse 8, and you recall the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord God, thy God. And in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter nor thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle nor thy stranger, all that is within thy gates in the gates. What are you doing, Jeremiah? You're walking around the city, telling at each gate and telling people you are not keeping the Sabbath. You're not keeping the Sabbath. You're going in and out 7 days a week. You don't stop. Now, hang on to that. Now, chapter 20, remember at the end of verse 10, the stranger that is within thy gates, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, going back to Genesis, and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So God, what are you doing? You're recognizing for Israel, as they commence their journey at Mount Sinai, you're recognizing for them what they ought to understand. You have already made all provision for all humans, for all that is going to be needed, and you need to understand, you don't need to hunt for, make fruit on the fruit tree. You need to make sure you're looking to me every seventh day. Stop and remember all that you have in the 6 days because of me, and I want you to know that's why you have it. You have it because of who I am, and I finished it, and you're recognizing that I did it, Genesis 2, 1, 2, and 3. You're recognizing what I did in my creative, wonderful wisdom. I did it. Now, I want you to remember that. That's the fourth commandment. Now, thus in verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day, wherein the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it and set it apart. Now God did that over in chapter 23. So it's a wonderful thing. Israel was to understand it. Chapter 23, if I may, picking up, please, in verse 10. And 6 years thou shalt, in the light of the context, 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and thou shalt gather the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest until and lie to still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and that they leave the beast of the field, and the beast of the leave the beast of the fields shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days, verse 12, thou shalt do all thy work. On the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thy ass may rest, the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. We're all going to rest. So everything rests, the land rests, everything rests in 6 days. And what are you doing? You're reminding yourself, 6 days, and we're going to do seven every seventh month. You're going to go and be very mindful, if you would, of what you have and why you have it. It's all because of God. God said, it's all because of me. Will you please stop and recognize me and give me some credit and appreciation for what you've had for the last 6 days? And then you're going to go and understand the next 6 days, you're looking to me to give and provide and help you in the next 6 days. And that's what we're doing. So God will stop. We recoup, we rest, we refresh ourselves, and we get it so that we can go on. And we understand, what are we learning? God, you are the provider. It's your creation. The wonderful miracles of science and material and plant growth and the environment and chemicals, that's all of you, God. And you make it all work. Wow. So now, having said that little bit, over to Leviticus. And Leviticus chapter 25. And in Leviticus chapter 25, may I pick up in thought? Go, if I can, to verse, well, let me read verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. It's a year of rest. And a Sabbath in the direction of rest, Sabbath in the direction of the Lord. The land is going to rest. The Lord is telling you to rest. It's the Lord's rest. What are you supposed to be doing on the Sabbath day, Israel? Understanding the Lord rested on the seventh day. He made everything and set it apart and made it possible. Now, that's why I want you to never forget that. So you understand, I own it all. Everything you have is mine. There's nothing that's yours. I own the whole thing. So make sure you stop and honor me and trust me. Now, hang on to that. Now, in the light of that, and in chapter 4, and in verse 4, but in the seventh year there should be a Sabbath of rest unto the Lord, as we read. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, and reading down very quickly, remember now, there's 7 years. Every 7 years, they took a year off. And when they came to 49 years, that means there were seven times that there were a seventh day. So 49 years, they should have rested 7 years. And when they come to the 50th year, called the year of Jubilee, you'll see it, verse 10, thou shalt hallow, set apart the 50th year, and proclaim liberty, freedom. Remember, that's on the Liberty Bell, our Liberty Bell. Throughout all the land, unto all the inhabitants thereof, it shall be a jubilee, the word jubilee, a shouting for joy, a shout of triumph. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. So whatever you've got in debt, whatever you did with your property and everything that you started with, every 50 years, it all goes back to the owner and the original. No matter who, what, when, where, it everything goes back. Everything stops and recovers. It rests. It comes to rest. You've been a slave for 7 years to pay off your debt. But on the 50th year, no matter how what year, maybe you may owe the guy 3 more years. But when the Jubilee comes, it's all over. It stops. And you go back to the where you belong. Everyone goes back, start again, to rest, to start over. New each morning are the mercies of God, the compassions of God. Now, and having said that, chapter 26. And in chapter 26, if I can, over in verse 26, turn the page. 26, if I can, in verse 23. If you will not be reformed by me, by these things, but walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you. And I will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you, and that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. In other words, they break the contract. They break Exodus 20. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Verse 26, and when I have broken the staff of your bread, and et cetera, et cetera, sliding, if I may, down, verse 27, for time's sake, and if you will not, for all this, hearken unto me, walk contrary to me, then will I walk contrary to you also in fury, and I, even I, will chasten you 7 times for your sin. So here we are looking, and God looking again and again. Verse 34. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths. Maybe he's going to scatter them all over. So he already warns them. If you don't, you're going to be scattered. Already told them. Come verse 34. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest, there's your word Sabbath, and enjoy her Sabbaths, there it is again, as long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, there's your word, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths. You never gave it rest. You had to keep planting, you had to keep doing, you had to keep buying and selling when you dwell in it. And I want you to know, every 7th year, it rests. You haven't allowed it to rest. You didn't allow it to rest. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, verse 43, the land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, the land does, while she lieth desolate. Without them, they're gone. So the land gets a break, if you would, gets a break. While she lieth desolate, and without them, they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity. Why? Because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. I told them, I warned them way back. They haven't even got out of Mount Sinai yet. And I'm telling them what's going to happen. And if they don't honor me, how are you going to honor me? You're going to recognize I'm the Creator. I'm the Savior. Yeah, I'm God. How are you going to do it? Every 7th day, I want you to stop everything you're doing and pay attention to why you even exist on planet Earth, why you have what you have, why things aren't worse, why things, whatever, you want answers. I'm the answer, said God. And every 7th day, I want you to do it. Every 7th year. But you know what? They didn't do it, did they? Now, over if you would, please. Over to, Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. And in Ezekiel chapter 20, may I pick up the thought, if I may, in verse 5. Remember now, Ezekiel is over in the land, is over there in Babylon. Jeremiah's in Jerusalem. Ezekiel was taken captive the second time in 597 over. So he's over there, and Ezekiel is there, has a little place and has a little service and tries to let people know what's going on, and they need to be looking to God even in Babylon. Now, chapter 20, picking up, please, in verse 5. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I chose Israel and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made them myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. And in the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I had espied for them flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. So God picked for Israel the center place in the earth, and he said, of all the places I could put you, I put you in the very best place in all of planet earth. It wasn't the United States. It was Jerusalem, and everything was there. Wow. Now, hang on. In the light of that, if I can, verse 9. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness. Verse 11. I gave them my statutes, and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Now, underline in your mind verse 12. Moreover, I gave them in the wilderness for their journey, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. You remember when you read Exodus 16 about manna. Manna is 6 days out for 40 years, 6 days. The seventh day, there's nothing. So he gave them all 40 years of education about the whole thing. Now, and so God said, that's what Ezekiel is reminding them, that they might, and the reason, the end of verse 12, moreover, I gave unto them my Sabbath, to be a sign between me and them, about what? That they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. I set them apart in this place, and that's why they have all the benefits, and I want them to be mindful of the fact that I rested and I set everything apart, did my work, finished it, and I rested on the seventh day. You're resting in my finished work. That's why you're able to sit still on the Sabbath day, as it were, and rest, because you don't have to worry about a thing, because I finished it. Do you understand that? You worked all day with all the work, sweat, everything coming, going. On the seventh day, you stop and rest. Do you understand? It isn't. Whatever happened in the 6 days, at least seventh day, you rest. You catch up. You may have been all worried about something, or something happened. Wow. But on the seventh day, you catch up. You catch up. Or maybe a bull hit you. A bull stepped on your toe. You got a broken toe, make believe. All right. It's the seventh day. And you sit down and understand, here's God that saves, God that heals, God that gives hope. And here we are. So God, the seventh day, you're going to take advantage of your wonderful finished work, that God, there's nothing that isn't being worked out. So now, and if I can, in chapter 9, chapter 20, and in verse 19. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Now note, verse 20, like in verse 12, and hallow, set apart, make holy, sanctify my Sabbaths. Treat them in their holy, a solemn high holy day, as it were. And they shall be a sign between me and you, so that you know why you don't have any growing, why they don't pick any fruit, why you don't do anything, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. That's the whole business, to pay attention, God your God, in a most wonderful way. Verse 24, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. They didn't do it. What's the problem, Ezekiel? What's the problem, Jeremiah? It's a Sabbath problem. It isn't Sabbath, it's God problem. How do you recognize God? By stopping and paying attention to him. Paying attention to what he said. And they weren't doing it. They just weren't doing it. So in the process of all of that taking place, over if you would now, here's Ezekiel. Now I'm going to go in the judgment, if you can, because we're asking ourselves the question, I think, we're asking, why bring up Sabbaths at this point when they're all set? They need to understand why Nebuchadnezzar is going to level the city. It's because you didn't keep the Sabbaths. That's why. Now, why? The Sabbath, anything? No, you didn't honor me. You went 490 years without honoring me. Why didn't you honor me? Every seventh year you should have stopped for a whole year. But you didn't. Every seventh year you do nothing for the whole year. For the whole year, that's what's wonderful. For a whole year, don't do anything. That's a year off. What a job, you know. Work 6 years, get a year off. Wow. Wow. That's what it was. Now, Second Chronicles, giving us the end of all these things. And Second Chronicles chapter 36. And in chapter 36, may go directly in the light of everything, of context, Babylon, captivity. Chapter 36, verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath. To fulfill 70 years, 490, 70 years, you never kept the seventh year. We're going to make it up, and the land is not going to find you in it. And remember all the wonderful things when God, why do nations disappear and rise up across the history? Because And you know in Leviticus and all that, the land spews them up. The land is rest. The land is meant for God's wonderful working. And when people live in it century after century, God has a termination point, and the land vomits them up, and they're exited. And a new people, a new country, a new whatever it is comes in. They start all over again. Babylon is replaced by Media, Persia, etc. Now, back over to Jeremiah, chapter 25. Jeremiah, chapter 25. May I pick up, please, in verse 10. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land, verse 11, shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans will I make it a perpetual desolation. And by the way, that's when Media Persia comes in. I'm all done with Babylon. They have no more. They already, I gave them the right to be on the land. That place, I gave them that piece of property, but they've abused it, and et cetera, et cetera. So out they go, a new one comes in. So Jeremiah, what are you saying? Why the Sabbath? Why the Sabbath? Because, dear friend, God had to be honored. And it wasn't doing the seventh thing. The seventh year, they never kept the seventh year. A whole year. Think of a whole week. Now think of a whole year where you don't grow anything. And you didn't have this stuff they advertised, you know. Freezer, you can freeze things for 25 years. You ever hear that? You know, buy a freezer and buy a warehouse so you can put in your 25 years of frozen food, etc. And do it. They didn't have to do that. God did it. It's like the other day I was talking to one of the people that went to see the ark, you know, all that. And they have to answer the ark based on a human ability to do something in some form. But the ark is miraculous. There's no way to answer what happened. They try to answer it based on humans, but you can't answer it. God, you did it. That's right. And tell God, you do what you do. And there's no problem in you doing it. So when you go and make the land desolate and no food, there's no problem. God, you can do whatever you want to keep anyone. You can keep us all alive for 1,000 years, and we never eat, never drink, never have anything, never need water. Moses, up and down, 40 years, 40 days. What about food? Boy, you should be thirsty. Where's Poland Springs or Poland or whatever you call it? Where are they? Up Mount Sinai. You don't have them. You just have God. And God, what are you going to think you're going to do in heaven? Be able to carry a water jug with you? Some of you thinks that. You're trying to have a sacred water jug to take with you for water. No, you don't need anything. So God, can you keep for 7 years? Absolutely. Absolutely. In a most wonderful way. So now, God, our time is gone, God, and you know that. And we didn't even get now to the wonderful point of it all. But, A, it's a sign. The Sabbath is a sign to know God. It's a sign to know God and to understand that everything belongs to God. Everything we have started in Genesis chapter 1. And we're outworking it. We're outworking the birth. Adam was created, and Eve. And we are the product outworking what God started with Adam and Eve. And here we are. And God, it all belongs to you. And we're supposed to be very conscious. So therefore, over in closing. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. Israel, what are you doing? You function. You want to be able to stay functional. Therefore, you work 7 days and stop and rest and recognize God on the seventh day. Why do you recognize God on the seventh day? So that you can go to work on the sixth day, 6 more days, and 6 more years, and 60 more years, so you can do it. That's what you do. You keep me up on the front page because that's how things are going to go. You get rid of me, like Israel, you're going into captivity. And that's where you're going. I already told you you were going to go there back in Leviticus. I already told you what's going to happen before, long before you were born. And you never pay attention. So now, Hebrews chapter 4, as you know, most wonderful exercise of the whole point of the Sabbath. And remember, Sabbath observance is not in the New Testament. The other commandments, but not that one. Not New Testament. Because that isn't the issue. He's the, well, without kidding, he is the Lord of the what? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Isn't he? That's what he's going to say. We don't take in time. I am the Lord. It's my rest. I am the Lord of it. Thus, chapter 4, sliding down to, if I can, to verse 7. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as he said, today, if you will hear his voice, and harden not your heart. And one of the problems back in Jeremiah 17 is, they have made their heart very stiff, stiff-necked. They aren't bending, they aren't moving for nothing. They aren't going to listen, they aren't going to change, it's all nothing. That's the trouble. You didn't get it. Thus, verse 8, if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day? In other words, if they had rest, Jesus is Joshua. If Joshua said rest, but they didn't rest, that's when you go into the book of Judges. They didn't pick it up. And king after king, all the way. Is anyone going to catch on? Where's the seventh year? Where is it? Well, it couldn't really be. It's enough. It's enough for seventh day. But 7 years, a whole year, I mean, that's impossible. Wow. Now, so therefore, verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. A rest. Now, hang on, because I hope we did it all right for you. Verse 10, for he, the believing heart, that has entered into his rest. Whose rest? God's rest. He also hath ceased, that's what the word rest means, to cease, to desist, to separate from something, and it ends. No more. Stop. Finished. Rest. Verse 10, he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And so what? Are we trying to work it out? Are we trying to work out our... No, we aren't working out your salvation. You're working out his salvation that he saved you. And there's no question, if you had a question, the next, go to chapter... You don't have to turn there. Philippians 2 and 12. And then read the next statement, verse 13. For it is God which is in you to do and to work out his good pleasure. It's God doing it. And all you're doing is recognizing it. What do we have? We have a 24-hour day, 7 days a week rest. And we're supposed to enjoy it. Israel didn't. The church doesn't. Very few, that wonderful subject of rest, I'll bet you it's hard to find anyone that even believes that. To believe it. They don't believe it. No more than Israel said. You couldn't stop for a whole year. No, it's impossible. How could you stop for a whole lifetime? You mean you aren't going to live your life? No, I'm reckoning myself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. I have a brand new life. Where is it? In the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't it? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever. When does it stop? It never does. Never. Absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. No, it never stops. Are you exercising it? Israel didn't. And they paid for it, and they're paying for it now. They're separated out there, all alone over there in Israel. God help them. Because they didn't rest. They didn't believe. That's why the captivity, and they never fixed it. When did they fix it? Do you remember the last time you read Israel was resting for a whole seventh year? Was it last week? No. They don't do it. Don't do it. Does the church do it? No. No. Do we understand it? No. That's why we're here. We're here what? To get refreshed. You just went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, didn't you? Most of you? Lived through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Work, home, school, whatever you got, family, friends, war, peace. I don't know what you're in. How do I know? But here we are. What are we doing? We're reminding ourselves. If you were home, would you do this tonight at home? Exercise. We're exercising ourselves. That's why we're here. To what? Be reminded. Not to pray some prayer for people with a broken toe and God help them. No, that's piddly compared to what we're here for. We're here to honor God and let God get to us and refresh us so we can go back with Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And at least we're reminded. You won't do this at home. Who's going to yell at you? Well, once I say that, who's going to yell at you? That's what you're doing, isn't it? That's what's wonderful about it. You know, that's what it's supposed to be. I don't know. I think it is. That's what I do anyway. That's why I practice all week to yell at you. To try to help you get it. I could just give you 10 points. 10 points. 1, 2, 3, 4. Boom. You wrote down 2 of them. Good. No, you don't need that. You don't need points. You need an exercise where you're awakened. God to God. You may not remember a thing about tonight. But remember God. We are in the presence of God. Be thankful of God. Thoughtful of God. And then you're going to leave, hopefully, and go home, drive home, whatever you're doing. And you're thoughtful about God. In a way that you were never doing it. And that's what keeps us fresh.